If your confession is genuine, God will forgive you. If you really mean, not that you just got caught, but if you really mean, if it really hurt you to know that you've done wrong and I don't know what happened, something came over me. Well, oh, Lord, have mercy, I take too long to get to my point. The truth of the matter is that he confessed, and the problem was is that David, he confessed, but I wonder what happened. I tell you, ask your neighbor, I wonder what happened to David. I'm curious. I don't know the answer either. I just came. I studied the long it took, and I didn't get to finish. I didn't figure it out. So I guess the Lord will tell us when I get there. What happened to David? He was a man after God's own heart. He was serving God, and amen. You can't blame it on the woman, although she was not totally innocent. But he still had to, it still takes two. And so the truth of the matter is, the question is, what happened to him? David had gotten to the point to where he had authorized his sin. He don't committed murder and he committed adultery and he covered it up. What happens when people, that's why I was talking about in life there are some spiritual blind spots. And you need somebody, if you're really serious about serving God, and I don't have time to get it the way I wanted to, but if you really want to serve the Lord right, amen, you ought to recognize the reality of some spiritual blind spots. That there are some times, you know what a blind spot is. I wrote it down. Amen. It says that it's an area that is not able to be seen, either due to its location outside of the field of vision or due to some physical obstruction or defect. So it could be on the outside or it could be on the inside in one's vision. Often used to describe the areas around a car that cannot be seen with the rear view or side mirror. Now, it's somebody over there, but they're in your blind spot. And it says that it happens with cars, amen, amen. It can happen with cameras. Security cameras have a blind spot where, amen, criminals say, you know, I get to the blind spot, I can still get in. But it also happened in the courtship. Amen. Not just in cars and cameras, but it happens in courtship where people really, you can be in love and you can be in blind. And can't nobody tell you nothing. And so we can see it clearly. That person is not good for you. But it's a blind spot. You could talk to them all day. Oh, Lord. And it's in their blind spot, and they don't know it. But, amen, many of us now, we messed up our lives and wrecked them because of this very sermon. We were not aware of spiritual blind spots. You gotta recognize the reality of them. There are spiritual blind spots, and you gotta want to do something about those blind spots. Amen. I'm hesitant about talking about what you should do about them. But the truth is, amen, okay. I'm glad you talked me into it, amen. Truth of the matter is, amen. These blind spots can come from, can just be due to age. Amen. Some folk have blind spots just due to age. Amen. They so immature, they can't see what somebody else sees. Amen. A lot of folks have made mistakes because of their immaturity. And Satan came along while you were immature, and he made you make a mistake. You were not grown. You were not strong enough in the faith. And Satan came along and took advantage of your immaturity. I guess, amen, he robbed the cradle. Amen. Took advantage of your immaturity. And a lot of people mess up because they basically just too immature. They are immature. Amen. And they're not able to. Amen. I'm going to introduce a program dealing with this for those children who want to be really serious about serving the Lord and partnering with their parents in a HAID program, H-A-I-D, which always, when you meet your father and your parents, you say, how am I doing? Amen. It's an acronym, how am I doing? You got to be willing to put on the how am I doing shirt. Amen. And put a question mark on it and always welcome your parents' advice. You know, even a spiritual family member that you may choose. But the truth is, you want to say, look, hold me accountable in life because there's a whole lot of life I could be enjoying that I messed up because of my immaturity. You got to recognize that age will create a spiritual blind spot. Your appetite will create a spiritual blind spot. Your appetite can be so strong, your fleshly appetite. I'm not through with that. I'm trying to hear up. Your appetite can be so strong, and David's appetite was so strong until when he saw what he saw. How many of y'all know you got to watch what you see? Amen. And his flesh got a hold of him. His appetite, fleshly appetite, was so strong till God and everything just went out the window. He approved, he authorized, he accepted, he felt justified in what he was doing because his fleshly appetite was so strong until it blinded his ability to make sound decisions. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says that the God of this world has blinded the minds. You see, you really don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. You really do. Amen. You can bring a person in here that's 4 years old, and you can bring a person in here that's 84 years old and look at the same thing and see two different things. Amen. The four-year-old don't see nothing that you may see. There may be a person standing there dressed in a nightgown, but it didn't bother them. But a four-year-old, but an 84-year-old who had all that experience, you see with your mind, not with your eyes. And what David did is David saw something that made him abandon God, forget about God, forget about everything. Oh, Lord, maybe I'll do this at the next service. Let me just simply say, amen, we need to understand that those things are spiritual blind spots that we have. We have these blind spots in our lives, and God makes it plain that God went to David and he was not pleased with David. Amen. The Bible tells us, as I try to bring this, it says, but the thing that David done had displeased the Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The thing that David done. Amen. Amen. What are you doing? What are some of the things? Can everybody shout things? Things. Amen. Amen. We're talking about what he just had did. That thing that he had just done. God did not like it. There are some things that you can do that God does not like. And the Bible tells us that the thing that David did displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. Amen. There are some things. There are some things. You see, the Bible talks about a time in the end of the end times in Isaiah 5:20, where it talks about one day there's going to be a time when people are going to call good evil and evil good. I'm just getting to the sermon. They're going to call dark light and light dark. You read Isaiah 5:20. He said that's what's going to happen. They're going to do that. They're going to be in a situation to where they're going to call something that is bad good. And you know what that means? That means that they could just there's a time going to come when people going to start changing the rules. Huh? They said, we're going to change the Bible. The Bible is not going to fit into what I want to do. So we're just going to change it. That's all we got to do. We're missing, we'll reinterpret it, make it say what we want it to say. And we gut the scriptures. And we take all of the authority out of it. And that way we can do what we want to do and still say, I'm a Christian. Amen. He said, time going to come. They're going to call good evil. Ain't that bad? And evil good. They're going to call dark light and light dark. Amen. And they're going to be prudent in their own eyes, according to verse 21 of Isaiah 50, of Isaiah 5 and 21. They're going to be right in their own eyes. They're going to be right anyhow. Amen. I know it's wrong, but I done fixed it so I can get away with my sin. And keep my, in other words, I am above the law. Yeah, God said don't do it, but I fixed it how I could live above the law. There are a lot of Christians who have authorized sins, practicing and behavior. And you know what they've done? They made themselves above the law. Now, we can't get saved by the law, but you ought to support the law. The law is good for you. Good practices is in the Bible. But you can get to the point to where I'm a Christian, but I'm living above the law. That's what David did. He has some consequences. We may not get to them yet. But, you know, there's some consequences of breaking the law. Amen. And David says, you know, I'm above the law. You see, God was not pleased with the way he was doing things. But he got into that space. He was powerful. And it just like, for some reason, it don't apply to me. It's, for some reason, it's okay for me to do it. David, now everybody know the Ten Commandments, the Ten Laws. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Actually, he broke the last law first. He said, thou shalt not covet. He was coveting her. He unbroke three laws. He authorized it, though. What space was he in to make him not feel conscious or guilty for what he... What makes people get to the point to where they can just do what they want to do in face of Scripture, and it doesn't even faze them one bit? It doesn't even bother them. They do it with their chest out. Oh, I can't trumpet this like it ought to be trumpeted. Lord have mercy. There are folk writing their own rules, I guess is what I'm saying. I put an addendum to the minutes. I wrote some amendments in the Bible. That one was amended. This is 2020, so we got to amend that rule. That rule ain't going to happen today. No, sir. To my woman, submit to a man? No, sir. We got to rewrite that. We fixed that one now. Let's go back to church. We got an amendment in the Bible there. We don't amend it to word. The Bible said don't add to it. You're not above the law. Can't change this book. You better get back. You better back up. Back off, buddy. If you want to live like you want to live, live the way you want to live. But you cannot be above the law. Well, the fact of the matter is, God told Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. See, God has to be pleased with us. And Jesus says, I do always those things that please the Lord. Well, I think I'm just going to stop here this morning. The truth is that God makes it plain that he says the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And so you begin to recognize that David committed a crime, and David basically... he committed the crime, but he was confronted, And what happened, he had gotten caught up in his sin. And so he confessed his sin. But then again, there are consequences to your sin, David. David, the sword shall not depart from thine house. God says, you're not going to die. Because look, think about it. He says in verse 13, you say, I think David was above the law. Because you're supposed to be stoned if you do that. If you commit adultery, aren't you supposed to be stoned? The law said you're supposed to be. So I go, was David above the law? He didn't get stoned, did he? I can't answer that. I think what the truth of the matter is, he did not get stoned. So folk can get the feeling like they're above the law because God's still giving them another opportunity. But there's a difference. Does the sins of the father supposed to be judged upon the children? Have you? The Bible teaches that the father's sin, the kid is not, the baby died. He said a baby is going to die, David, that you all had in your act of infidelity. But you're not going to die. You're not going to die. But did the child get punished for the father's sin? No. Because there's a difference between punishment and consequences. The child was the consequences of a sin. God didn't just take a random child out there and say, your dad did this over here that has nothing to do with you and you're going to be punished for it. No, the child was the product of the sin. So it's not judging the child, judgment upon the child. It was a consequence. It was not a punishment. Somebody did die. God had more work for David to do. He had mercy on him because David repented like he always does. And he repented to the point that God, but we all know that there were some terrible consequences. There was a cost. The high cost of sin is what I started to talk about. The truth of the matter is that there was a sword in his household. His son Absalom, amen, killed Ammon. Ammon raped his sister Tamar. And at one point, Absalom was even trying to kill David. There was murder running all through his house. He said, David, you said that the man do this shall die. You're not going to get to die, David. But that don't mean you're above the law because God's going to have mercy on you. Somebody's going to die. Guess who's going to die? The child's going to die. The child's going to die, and your son's going to die. Ammon's going to die. And then Absalom, he's going to get killed because he's going to be running away from him, and he's going to get, because of his beautiful hair, he's going to. But the truth of the matter is, I don't have time to get this like I ought to, but what was the problem with David? The problem was he got caught up in his sin. And you could go knocked on his door and say, David, what are you doing, David? And he'd have been none the wiser. He needed somebody in his life to come knock on the door. A lot of Christians would need somebody to knock on their door. But a lot of Christians don't believe in knocking on nobody's door. They just believe in being friends with everybody. It's healthy to hold one another accountable in a way that is not judgmental. Because after all, you're not writing the rules. God did. So all you're doing is saying, did God say we could do that? Just say we so they won't think you're talking about them. Did God say we could? But there are Christians, there are folk who are more concerned about their church being big than they are about holiness. They're not interested in stopping nothing. You'll mess up your church. You go to making all these rules. You better let folk do what they want to do. Church ain't always concerned about holiness. Holiness. And you got to get to the point to where you are willing to be held accountable. Am I accountable? Am I holy? H. Am I accountable? What's my attitude like? Have I got a witness? What am I doing? The things that are important. What are the things that are really important? Do you see me going through life and with my priorities mixed up? Keep me on track. Dad, tell me. I'm willing for you to tell me when I'm walking through life. They just tell me what I'm doing, when I'm doing something wrong. Because I'm too immature to know what I ought to be doing. I have not been there and done that yet. You've been there and got the T-shirt. So I'm going to put on one. Now tell me that. Am I walking in holiness? Am I walking in accountability? Am I walking? Am I doing the things that are important first? The D, am I a disobedient dad? Dad, what do you see that I don't see? You looking from the eyes of wisdom. I can't see what you see. I need somebody in my life that loves me enough to come tell me the truth. Because I don't want the consequences of my sin. Because sin has terrible results. Sin does not have a happy ending. Sin always has a backlash to it. Sin never ends good. It always got a bad end. It's just like that movie I saw that it's got a bad ending. Amen. It's going to end up bad. So I need somebody to ask me at any time they want to. They need to know. I got to welcome the idea of saying, how am I doing? How am I doing? Are you? Could you put on the shirt? I don't know. Could you wear that shirt? I wish I had one that I could have worn it when I first, you know, about from 5 to, amen, 5 to 25, or from 5 until you get out of college at least. Then I'm going to let you on your own. But until then, I want my shirt on. How am I doing? How am I doing? Amen. You're the one that should tell me how am I doing. Say, you know what? I see you doing something that ain't good at all. That ain't right. But you have to be committed to say, I'm going to do whatever they say. Whoever that person is, it should be your parents. A lot of children make mistakes. Well, let me go on. Amen. I'm going to try to finish this at the next one. But a lot of mistakes could have been avoided if Christians are more concerned about holiness than making folk happy. Holiness don't always make you happy. But tell your neighbor, you always have a good ending. You always have a good ending when you're walking holy. But if I'm just going to keep folk happy, amen. You can grow anything if you let the rules, if you're with no rules around. But God said, I want it this way. It's my church. And then he says, no one is above the law. Not even you. Not even Christians are above the law. We got to live by the book. We're not saved by the law because Jesus kept it. But we got to live by the book. Are you willing this year, 2020? Am I willing to live holy? Amen. Am I going to write my own rules or modify the addendum to the minutes? Am I going to change the book? Amen. I need to be willing to come forward and say, this year I'm going to not live above the law. Because I know his word is a lamp and it's a light. The thing David did displeased the Lord. Now, I got to close with this, but the truth of the matter is, it may not displease your daddy. These are spiritual rules. But it displeased. See, your daddy didn't write the law. Have I got a witness? This thing that David did displeased his friend. No, this thing that David did displeased his parents. No, this thing that David did displeased his co-worker. No, this thing that David did displeased a significant other. No, this thing that David did displeased the Lord. And even your daddy got to get in step with God. You see, our parents can even authorize things that God, we love them so much until we become blind. You can become blind to relationships. You can love somebody so much. You can love a child so much that you won't discipline them. A lot of folk don't whip their children because it hurt them more than it hurt the child. It hurts me to hurt my child. But if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. this can be the year that I'm going to live according to the will of God. And I'm going to rewrite this sermon perhaps in between services. But God is a good God. Because I don't want to displease the Lord. David said, I know what the problem is. I was born in sin. David went back and wrote a whole psalm, a number. You don't call psalms chapters, you call them numbers because they're songs, you know. They sing them. That's the Hebrew hymn book. And when you look at the 51st number, can everybody say number?
Number
of the psalms. Not chapter of the psalms. Number of the psalms. When you look at it, David says, I was born, I found out where the problem is. In Psalms 51:5, David said, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my, that word sin came up. Don't nobody like talk about that word. Can everybody shout sin?
Sin.
Say S-I-N.
S-I-N.
You know that word is becoming obsolete. It's wrong. It's not right. It's bad. It's not good because it's sin. Sin. David put his finger on it. I have sinned. He didn't say I made a mistake. He didn't try to excuse it. He said, I done flat out sinned. And when God see that we are serious about our sins, then he will forgive us. And he will have mercy. And David didn't die. Because David's heart was for the things of God. Stand to your feet. I see you're getting sleepy. Amen. How you can get sleepy at 8 o'clock, I don't know. If you're here today and this year is a new year, are you living above the law? You need to come and say, you know what? This ain't going to end up good because I've been breaking God's law. And I'm going to have to do something about it. I'm going to come down the altar. And I'm going to recommit myself to Jesus. If you're not saved, you need salvation before you can get to heaven. You need to be saved. Something has to happen on the inside. And you can say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. Save me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to start the year off right. I'm getting saved. I want to live by the law. I want to follow your word, not to be saved, but I want to live in a way that's pleasing unto you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I make you my Lord and Savior. Whatever the case may be, you may need prayer.